Guys, I want to talk to you about attention to detail for a moment. What makes the dimples on a golf ball so important? What may seem insignificant, but without them, your ball wouldn't travel half as far as, or in Neil's case, attempt to go straight. Those ball manufacturers measure to make sure each one of those dimples is right to within 1/1000th of an inch. That's the kind of attention to detail you'll see in Cooper Discoverer's and Duramax SUV tire. From severe weather traction to durable tread technology, every last inch of the Enduramax is designed to give you the best ride possible for as long as possible. All Cooper tires are backed by a limited warranty, a 45-day test drive warranty, and select products are backed by Treadwear Mileage Warranty, helping to give you confidence on the road. For complete product and warranty details, please visit www.coopertires.com or www.coopertires.ca. And remember, go with the Coopers. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Crash Course Podcast. I'm Cody, joined today by DJ Pihowski. Deej, what's going on, man?
Not much. Greetings. Thrilled to be talking about one of my, I would say one of my favorite places to go. I really, really dig Colonial Country Club. I think it's awesome.
I could not agree with that more. Fort Worth sings to me.
It does. Why do you think that is?
I don't know. I think it's a city, but it doesn't feel like a city. It has charm, tons of character. The cowboy in me is like, hell yeah, let's put on my cowboy hat and go to the stockyards. Let's have a day, as the Fort Worth people would say. You know, I think for Colonial itself, it obviously has a ton of rich history, not only with architecture wise or champions or Ben Hogan or Byron Nelson or any of those guys, but it just feels good to be there. And at a lot of private places, you don't really get that.
I think that's exactly right. It's one of those places I think I had not really been there until a couple years ago. And it was a place I had watched on TV for 20 years. I had seen all kinds of different PGA Tour events. I couldn't really tell you much from watching it on TV. I mean, I could picture the 18th hole and the pond and the, you know, all the, you know, Phil Mickelson winning there and the tartan jacket and the Ben Hogan statue was kind of about all I could tell you. And I do think it's a place that it gets flattened a lot on TV, and not just physically. I mean, you know, yes, there really isn't much land movement or anything there. It is a pretty flat golf course, but it also gets a lot of it runs together on TV. There's not a lot of defining characteristics of a lot of these holes. And it's a place that you do kind of got to see and play. And I think that's kind of really when the character starts to shine a little bit more. So it was a place also that, you know, I think it's so throwback in so many different ways. I think the membership is extremely throwback. I don't usually enjoy getting deep into, you know, capital T, capital M, the membership on conversations like this, because I'm not a member here. And so what, you know, really, what do I care? But I think that the membership at Colonial, I mean, it's a golf club, right? I mean, they really love golf. They love hosting a PGA Tour event. They love their place in the world of golf. They take a ton of pride in hosting the event. I think a lot of people don't necessarily realize, like, you know, how PGA Tour events are run, and that not every event is run by the PGA Tour. A lot of them are run by kind of host organizations, and the membership at Colonial runs the PGA Tour event at Colonial. You know, they are the ones working out all the details and just making sure that the whole week is incredibly dialed. And now it's turned into the longest running event on the PGA Tour, I believe. So it's just a really, really cool place filled with, in my experience, like really genuine people who are both interested in golf and golf history, and also are happy to kind of show that off and welcome you into it. And kind of, I think those are my favorite places to go, is when you really go to, you know, one of these private clubs where people are just thrilled that you're there, and they're thrilled to to show it off. And that's always been my experience at Colonial.
No, I agree. I think the members there obviously are what make the club stand out and continue to push not only the tournament that they host every year, but also kind of their standing, not only in the modern game, but really keeping up with time and the historical outlook on that. And they've done a phenomenal job through the tournament of not only giving great sponsors exemptions to make sure that the next generations of professionals are coming in, but also, you know, it's pretty cool that when you look back and like, there's not a lot of women who have ever played in the PGA Tour, and the fact that this is, you know, where Annika played,
right?
And the grace that the tournament showed and set that up is phenomenal.
Yeah. Well, should we get into a little bit of kind of the nuts and bolts history?
Yes, I love it. Let's do it.
So I think one thing, you know, we mentioned kind of their sense of history, and the only place where I'll say that might kind of not necessarily bite them, but the only place where that's a little bit at odds, I think, with how the golf course plays is the fact that the golf course was started by Marvin Leonard in 1936, almost for the like express purpose of having bent grass greens in Fort Worth. I think that was something Marvin Leonard, who is kind of the visionary behind the club and the guy who really, you know, you can do a whole deep dive on Marvin Leonard, who is a super interesting guy, but he was obsessed with this idea of having bent grass greens. He tried it at a couple other places. They wouldn't do it. So finally, I think, you know, turning a long story into a very short story, I think he basically was like, all right, cool. Then I'll build them at Colonial and we'll have bent grass greens there. And they have maintained that to this day, despite the fact that it is hot as shit in Fort Worth. Not only is it hot as shit, they get a ton of rain early in the year. It is a miserable bio. You know, I'm not an agronomist and I'm not a greenskeeper, but speaking to a couple people in the know, I mean, it is a totally abysmal place to try to keep bent grass greens alive through the heat, through the wetness, through all of those different things. But they have done it. The greens roll impeccably. Whenever I've been there, they've been absolutely awesome. I obviously grew up on bent grass here in the Midwest, so it's always a thrill when you're playing somewhere in Texas and you realize there's no grain. You realize that the putt just kind of does what you think it's going to do. It does what it looks like it's going to do. But having said that, I think I cannot imagine the cost and the manpower and the just everything that goes into maintaining those greens. Cody, I know you only played it once, but did you have any takeaway on the greens at all?
They roll pure, but again, as great as they roll, I can only imagine the struggle, the cost, and ultimately, I don't want to use the word waste, but probably a little bit of keeping up with them, maintaining them. What I remember, a horrible time for myself to go out there and play. But then again, when you think about spring in Texas, like, it rains a ton. So when we were out there, it obviously rained a ton. It rained while we were filming. It rained the entire next day, and it was wet. And there's a lot that they probably could do. I know they're going to do, as we'll get into later, with some of the changes that they plan on making. But man, incredible green complexes. Very, very difficult with runoffs and, you know, I don't want to say deep bunkers, but a lot of the greens are kind of perched up. And what you see, I didn't even realize this, but not an original Perry Maxwell design. So I would say he was kind of the second man to come in and take a hack at it.
Yeah, he was cleaning up some of the John Breedemus stuff, right?
Right.
And yeah, I can't tell you a ton about John Breedemus, but you know, it's just I'm trying to think if you were going to really like describe the architecture at Colonial. It strikes me as one of those places that's very simple but not easy. You know, it's not going to wow you if you're just out there. You know, I think it's one of those places if you're playing it without, if you're walking around there without golf clubs, it probably feels a lot different than if you do have golf clubs, if that makes sense. Like it doesn't look like there's much going on when you're out there. Everything is, you know, a simple kind of dog leg here, dog leg there. It's pretty, there's not a ton of hazards. I mean, you get into like Number five is obviously a really tough driving hole. There's a couple spots on the back nine where, you know, you've got a little bit of water and a couple property lines and stuff, but it's pretty much kind of winds within itself on this piece of property. It's not like you're dealing with a ton of OB or anything like that. And I don't know what it is, but it just, I think with how fast it plays at certain parts of the year and really for the tournament, how unpredictable the rough can be, how like really pretty small the greens are and the targets are probably even smaller than that. It's one of those places, like I got a really great appreciation for it when we were playing it with the Hickories, because it feels like a place where you're really, really, really just playing from point A to point B. You're trying not to get too far ahead of yourself, and you're really just like, all right, I gotta be there. There's kind of only, it's not going to overwhelm your senses like some places, right? It's pretty obvious what the challenge is. And on a lot of holes, it might just be something like, hey, there's an overhanging tree on the right. Like I gotta be on the left. And you're kind of focused on those challenges throughout the day, but it does a very elegant job of that, I think, if that makes sense. It's a pretty straightforward test, but I also think it's just like a really classic, really just really cool place to play golf.
Could not agree more. So, little quote here that I just pulled up. A straight ball will get you in more trouble at Colonial than any other course I know. Ben Huggan.
There you go, Ben. So we should mention. So we mentioned Marvin Leonard and John Breedemus and Perry Maxwell, and they started hosting the PGA Tour event in 1946. I would recommend, first of all, anybody who's interested in Colonial and interested in Ben Huggan. I'm guessing those two kind of go hand in hand. Go listen to the podcast Solly did. God, I can't remember what number it is. It was probably almost 2 years ago now, I would guess, but a deep dive on the history of Ben Huggan and what he meant to Fort Worth. And he did a great job, got some great quotes and talked to a lot of people who worked at his equipment company. But there was some great stuff that kind of goes in concert with this Crash Course podcast. But I think what's really interesting, and I don't know if we want to skip ahead to this now, but I've heard that quote a bunch as well. You know, the straight ball is you got to be able to shape it. You got to be able to do all these different things at Colonial. And I think that was true for a very, very, very long time.
But
what's really tough, and I don't want to, you know, we don't need to get into equipment discussion, but we were out there this year and you're watching guys like Jason Kokrak, like bomb it over some of these corners, and talking to some of the members, all it's in. Like, yeah, he's completely all in. Nobody called his bluff that week either. He ran the table. But you're talking to some of the members, and there are a lot of members who I think still think the way of that quote that you're talking about, because I think that's the way it plays for the membership. But I think Colonial is a good, it's a great example of just how far the professional game has drifted from the amateur game.
Yeah.
And I think that's probably a big reason why Gil Hans is coming in and they are giving it a bit of a facelift, which I think is needed. I mean, it does feel dated. It feels old. It feels like it's a little shaggy around the edges, so to speak. I mean, the golf course is in great shape, but you know what I mean? It does feel a little tired out there. I think that's kind of part of the charm, but I'm not a member, so I get why, they're looking to shake that up. But yeah, it's watching the pros play out there is a lot different than, you know, watching your own game out there, watching the membership play out there, because it's a place where for all the thinking that I have to do on a golf course like that and you know, trying to shape shots and stuff, it is interesting, disheartening, inspiring, depressing, whatever your adjective is that you want to use to watch the pros play it, because it's a lot different. They're blowing it over the corners. They're throwing it high and soft and landing it on these small greens. I mean, it is a it's a different way than Mr. Huggan played the golf course, I think.
Very much. It's the only place where technology truly outpaced, even with an 80-year head start, how tall trees can grow in Texas.
Right.
Because yeah, exactly. Dog legs mean nothing there. And thinking about it, you know, this week I was up in New Jersey with Big Randy and we had an opportunity to play Baltusrol. And kind of the thoughts that the members of Baltistrol had is exactly the same thing that the members that I talked to at Colonial discussed, is that there's no other really championship golf courses out there where these great layouts are truly brought down to their knees by the professional game and the technology that the new equipment has. There's a lot of other courses that we talk about that are short that can still host championships. You know, we could go on and on and on that still have enough teeth that make it stand up, whether it's rough or bunkers or anything else like that. But there's not a lot of other defenses that Colonial can specifically throw up. I mean, talk about the horrible horseshoe. We can talk about Hogan's Alley, which are amazing holes in and themselves. But with distance, it doesn't really matter. And the property that Colonial sits on, is it's almost maxed out. And a lot of that has changed dramatically over time. And we talk about kind of what they're going to do with the, let me see, 8. I know, talking to the member that I had an awesome round out there with and completely loved getting the history side of it. But the Trinity River is the one that is borders the course, I believe, on the northern side of the property. And the Army Corps of Engineers, when they came in and actually had to reinforce the sides of the Trinity River, specifically on the golf course side, did a number on that hole. You know, obviously had to pour a ton of cement. So this, the property, you know, the land was not just completely running into it, but that, again, took land away from the golf course and changed how a couple of them not only were played, but the routing of it. So I'm excited to see 8 and really them putting that green further over to the left, more inland, but also pushing that tree back out to where the tee box originally was. And that's tucked right up next to the water, because it's just little things like that. As these old courses come up and things happen, greens tend to get a little bit smaller. And for Colonial's sake, unforeseen circumstances got in the way, which really punished them on 3-4 really good golf holes.
Yeah. And I think to that point too, Colonial doesn't really have a ton of, you know, I don't think they need this necessarily to like sell memberships or anything. I mean, I think, you know, people who might be interested in joining Colonial know what Colonial is. It's not like, you know, that's the reason to go, but they don't really have like a great standout. There's not a great standout picture out there, right? You know, there's no great standout holes other, like maybe number, I guess, 9 and 18, but those are like almost don't fit with the rest of the golf course or what the rest of that golf course looks like. And I think 8, they have a great chance to make 8 kind of this like really, really iconic par 3 that still fits very naturally with the rest of the golf course. So I'm interested to see what they do with that one as well.
What's your favorite hole out there, Deej?
Oh man. That's a good question. It's, I think, you know, you mentioned briefly like the horrible horseshoe, and it's numbers 3, 4, and 5. And the whole idea there is, you know, it's these incredibly tough pars. Number 3 is a dogleg left. They're really like not only tough pars, but it's a lot of different shots that you have to hit. It's not like it's, you know, you have to hit the same shot over and over, which is kind of cool on that 3-hole stretch. But number 3, dogleg left, some really punishing bunkers on the inside of that dogleg that you can either, you know, you can either carry, you can play out to the right of, you can take them on, not take them on, kind of choose where you want to have your difficult shot. I think that's a really cool hole. Number 4 is just a long, very straightforward par 3. And then number 5, probably the, you know, the iconic hole on the golf course, maybe the, just the tightest feeling tee shot ever. I mean, I hit a fade, which I think helps a little bit. I think you can kind of start it out left at the driving range and cut it back to the fairway. But if you hit a draw and you're trying to land one, you know, the fairway feels like it cants a little bit kind of right to left. If you're trying to hit a draw in there, it's going to hit the downslope. It's going to kick down left into that little ravine. You're going to be absolutely dead because there's OB all the way up the right. And really during the tournament, OB all the way up the left too with the driving range. So just a really tough, you know, driving hole there. But I would say, I mean, number 5 might be my favorite hole after all this. Like it's so hard, but it's one of those, like if you can put one in the fairway, I feel like you start to get your your adrenaline going a little bit and like, all right, I might actually be able to make a par here. And those holes usually aren't my favorite, but for whatever reason at Colonial, I think it's just leaning into the challenge and leaning into how difficult it is. It's just it's really cool. And I really like that one. And I really like 15 as well on the back nine is the par four dogleg right as well. Kind of almost like a not necessarily like a blind landing zone, but you got to kind of figure out like how, if you can cover these bunkers, where you're going to leave it. And then you've got a kind of a cool shot into the green with a green that slopes pretty well back to front. And it's just a pretty interesting shot. So those are probably the two that stick out to me. What did I steal yours? Did I leave one out there for you?
No, I mean, five's an awesome golf hole, but that's what everybody says. Everybody talks about five. I actually want to give a quick, there's lots of different ways that you can play five. You want to see an interesting way to play five, just bomb it as far left into that driving range as you possibly can.
And that's then the real play.
To try to sprint out while there's active shooters happening still on the range. And then just stuff it right to the middle of the green as he did in the Hickory Challenge for Wild Boar Golf. But no, you're right. Awesome, awesome hole.
There's a couple other standouts. I mean, I think one's a really good hole. Like, I think one's a really cool par five. I think you got to really think again. Like, I think some of my thinking might be colored by the fact that we played Hickories out there really twice. I mean, we played with the Wild Boar Golf, and then the next day we had a kind of an NLU Hickory event out there with the folks from Charles Schwab. But I think when you're playing the Hickories, like the par fives turn into real par fives. Yeah. You got to like, you have to really think your way around and you see how the course would have played, you know, in the 50s, 60s, even the 70s. And like all of a sudden there's a lot more interesting bunkers out there. There's a lot more going on that like really makes you, like I said up front, really makes you play from point A to point B rather than just bombing it as far as you can and finding it and hitting it on the green, which is, I'm guessing, how a lot of people, you know, do play the course these days.
Colonial has one of the most uncomfortable holes I've played all year, and that's number seven.
Yeah, and there's just dead straight.
There's something to be said. Like five, I get, but like that's how I view holes anyway. I look at them and I'm like, okay, well, it's forcing you to hit a shot here. If you keep it, if you hit it straight, you're fine.
Right,
peel it right, you're gonna be okay. You can't peel it too far right, or else you're. Those trees are so tall, but I was going to say in the water, but like those trees are probably just going to knock it straight down out of play anyway. Seven is a very uncomfortable, as straight as you can possibly be. They have like, you know, two little fairway bunkers up on the right hand side. You can hit it a little bit left. You're going to be in the trees, but it probably has one of my favorite green complexes out there.
So good. Really, really cool.
Three tier green that has two awesome bunkers, both front right, front left, and then one right over the back left side of it. If you miss back or back right, it's just like running down away from you anyway. Such a cool green. It's impossible to chip around that green when you're playing Hickories that have zero bounce, as I found out. Like, okay, well, I'll just putt it from 60 yards off. But there's something about a straight, you know, straight holes, straight putts are always the worst.
Well, especially in a place where, I mean, every hole is doglegging, right? I mean, right's number one's going to the right, number two's going to the right, number three's going to the left, number five's going to the right, number six is going to the right, and then you get to number seven, and all of a sudden you're like, oh my god, this is dead straight. What the hell? Like, my cut's been rewarded on, you know, three of these first seven holes, four of these first seven holes, or six holes, and but now it's just about it, you know, supposed to just hit a dead straight ball. Like, I can't do that, and it just makes you freak out and blow it in the trees right or blow it in the trees left. Like, yeah, I don't know if I've ever hit that fairway.
You know, there is a pretty even mix out there of holes that move right to left versus left to right.
Yeah, I think maybe the cut might have just a slight advantage, maybe. But I think that's one of the things, like we mentioned a couple times, you know, Gil Hance is planning to go in, and I think there's something interesting about how they're gonna actually pull that off in itself, because, you know, with the tournament being in May and when you'd have to grass things, and I don't know how they're going to do that, if they're going to be able to redo all 18 holes, you know, all in one calendar year. I don't really see the PGA Tour going to a place where they redid nine of the holes and nine of the greens are new and nine of the greens aren't. or if they're just going to have to take off like a full year from the tournament. I don't really know how that is going to work. I think that's interesting in and of itself, but
I'll tell you how it works. Cash, baby.
Yeah, I guess
you,
so.
You pay for sod, you don't got to worry about grow-ins.
That's true. Maybe they'll just absolutely just fill it up with manpower. But I think one of the things that they'll probably end up doing is canting those fairways at least a little bit more, and kind of trying to make sure that, you know, if the proper shot into a fairway is a cut, you know, maybe making that the fairway cants a little bit more right to left, or vice versa if the proper shot is hitting a draw. Because I think one of the things that makes Colonial so interesting is that idea of really being forced to work the ball both ways. And you really don't have to do that now on the PGA Tour.
Right.
Right. I mean, I think you can, we hear guys talk about that all the time. And that was one of the big Rory quotes of the year, kind of was like, you know, I got away from hitting a draw and I can just hit a cut all the time. And that's what you hear Dustin Johnson talk about all the time. Like, oh, I never, ever have to hit a draw anywhere. And so I think if they, you know, I know there's only so much you can do. And even with the length that those guys hit it, you know, even if you miss the fairway and you're up in that rough, you know, you're still definitely able to survive. I mean, it's, you might just be putting it on the green and two putting, but I think it would be, I would love to see that brought in a little bit more at least. But we'll see. We'll see what ends up happening with the renovation.
Yeah, I'm excited. I think, you know, Gil's been on a heater of just doing phenomenal renovations and restorations. It's crazy to be like, man, I don't know a club out there that like has this project going on that Gil's name is not attached to.
Right.
Randy and I had the opportunity to sit down with him this week, and we asked him that question. We'll run it on the Ball Destroyer crash course. His biggest thing, and as he says there, is like, hey, these are phenomenal layouts. There's not a lot that Perry Maxwell did wrong here. We just got to figure out how to get Perry Maxwell up to 2021, 2022.
Yeah. Well, so what, not to put you on the spot, but as it pertains to Colonial, I mean, I know you guys just saw Baltusrol. Obviously, they're making those changes, I would think, you know, not just for the membership, but also so they can continue to be relevant in professional golf and major championship golf. I mean, what did you see at Baltusrol that would be a good test of professional golfers?
A lot of the fairway lines have completely changed. So first of all, Baltusrol, they took out a ton of trees. Colonial, that's not an issue there. I'm not going to have to remove trees. But fairways and fairway lines, and specifically moving the fairway bunkers to where it is now in landing areas. And the tremendous thing is that everybody has, there's 20 years now of shot link data that it's easy to put these in place.
Right.
And that's what, you know, TC and I, when we did the Mirrorfield Village podcast, it was easy. They're like, well, we know exactly where to put these bunkers now because of shot link data. And I think that's something that Colonial can easily do. And I know that's what they're planning on doing. So what happens is when you move bunkers to landing areas for the professional game, and they don't have to move too many doglegs because the tee length is kind of already there. That's not necessarily the issue, but it ends up making the course actually easier and more enjoyable for the members,
right,
because they're just landing it in different areas. They're completely staying away from all the hazards or anything else. And I think a lot of that is just reinforcing your mowing lines and putting rough back to where it's, you need to be rough, and making rough penal. It doesn't have to be 6 inches, but there's different species of grass and everything that you can put in to make it so, you know, you're punished. And from the members' tees or from the ladies' tees or anything else, make it wide. And it's a pretty easy comp once you actually look at it from overhead and you realize, wow, this is definitely doable.
One thing that kind of stuck out with me, I hadn't been to the actual PGA Tour event at Colonial. Like, I hadn't been there in person in quite a while. And being out there this year, even just for a couple of days, I mean, it was rainy, but I think it's usually, you know, decently wet at that time of the year. And watching how inconsistent that Bermuda rough can be, I think I mean that as a compliment in like a really good way. I think what's so interesting about that place is how, you know, especially when it gets wet, you don't know if it's going to sit down. You don't know if it's going to sit up. You don't know if it's going to be a flyer. You don't know if it's going to be just complete, like hack it out, dead ball sort of thing. I think that's a really, really cool aspect of Colonial too. And hopefully that kind of sticks around and even becomes more of a factor, because I think it was a really interesting way to, I don't know. I mean, the scores at Colonial are low. Like, I mean, guys definitely go low there, but the winning score this year was 14 under. I mean, right. that's not outrageous. And for not a place that everybody talks about is like, you know, oh, the Colonial, like it's so outdated. It's such a pushover, which I know we mentioned some of the distance stuff. Like, you know, yeah, guys are flying a lot of these corners and stuff, but there's clearly some defense still out there, and there's still some bogeys out there. And I think a lot of that has to do with how they treat the rough, which is really interesting to me.
No, I could not agree with you more. And, you know, the fact that's why everybody loves Bermuda rough. I mean, that's what kind of it's, I guess it's cool, but like, why do you have bent grass greens?
Which apparently they'll be sticking around, that they're going to keep the bent grass greens through the renovation, because it's a sense of history, man. That's what the club was founded on.
I get that. But at the end of the day, as long as the members are happy, that's the most important thing. I think it's so cool that Fort Worth and the multiple different sponsors that they've had for the tournament have held on to it as long as they have. And kudos to them, the club, the community, for continuing to make it happen, to include even running it a year without a sponsor. And I think that's the most important part. They definitely have a place within the game. They have a place within a massive place within the history of the game. And I think, you know, in 2 years when we do Crash Course 2.0 on Colonial post Gill's work there, I'm sure it'll be different.
Only, listen, we gotta be fair and balanced. There's some weird artwork in the locker room. if I'm being honest, I don't know if you've seen any of that, but
that's your locker.
I'll leave that.
I walked in. You're getting chummy down there. I didn't realize your locker room attendant down there. You guys were that close of friends.
Scotty. Big shout out to Scotty, the locker room attendant. He was in our video when we did a little history of Colonial video. Yeah. I don't know. I'll just leave that there. The people who, you know, those who know will know, but there's a couple weird paintings going on in that locker room.
All right, great. If you have the opportunity, check it out. Report back. DJ will take all the pictures of them.
All right, man.
That's it. I don't think we left anything else out.
No. I can't wait to get back.
I know. All right, buddy. Appreciate it.
All right, see ya.
Later.